And this is a special midweek App Web Audio BizCast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for App Web Audio. Earlier this year, the FAA enacted a rule that lays out the ownership and flight department management responsibilities for air charter companies. And last week, AMI Jet Charter, one of the most respected charter operators in the U.S., had its operating certificate revoked under the provisions of the new rules. AvWeb's Russ Niles talked with National Business Aviation Association President Ed Bolin about how that decision has rippled through the industry and what might happen next.
I'm a little puzzled about what's going on with AMI Jet Charter. Can you just explain what's happened and why the FAA has revoked its operating certificate?
Well, I don't know the specifics of that individual case, Russ, but this is all a follow-on to, of course, the accident that took place in Teterboro a couple of years ago when the aircraft went across the road and slammed into a building. As happens with most high-profile cases, there is an inevitable regulatory fallout. And that's something that, you know, we saw all the way back to 1958 with a mid-air collision leading to air traffic control. And we've seen that historically with wind shear regulations or TCAS regulations or fuel igniting regulations, and so the result of the accident in Teterboro was the FAA moving forward on what is now known as A008, a regulation related to operational control, and it's certainly a regulation that NBAA, NATA, and others have raised concerns about in terms of the workability and the need for the community to be aware of it. The case involving AMI, as I understand it, is a situation where questions were raised related to operational control. A very long 7-month process took place that led to a suspension on one day and a revocation very shortly thereafter, a couple of hours thereafter. So I think there are a lot of questions from everyone in the community about what the situation is. I think there are a lot of questions about A008, how it is interpreted, how it is enforced, how it's implemented, and what the ramifications will be. I think, you know, it's difficult for us to know from the outside looking in what all the specifics about the situation are. But it certainly is a situation where the regulation is being implemented, it's being enforced, and I think there are a lot of companies that are trying to understand exactly what it means and how they know whether or not they are in specific compliance.
We're not talking about an obscure or small operator just sort of caught on the fringes. This is a major jet charter organization, and they have a good record, right?
Well, they had a spotless safety record and certainly a terrific reputation within the community. Most of us who have been in the business aviation world for a long time know a lot of people personally associated with the group and hold them in very, very high regard and understand them to be very professional, very thoughtful, very safety conscious. So just an outstanding reputation and a strong safety record.
Okay, so what's NBAA doing in light of this precedent-setting revocation?
Well, we have been, as I mentioned, since the initial notice of proposed rulemaking came out, NBAA worked very hard to make sure that the community understood the regulation, had an opportunity to comment on it, and to try to make it more workable. And I think the final rule that came out, again, NBAA issued some press releases at that time, with some concerns and with questions about it. Now that it's moved to implementation, we still feel very strongly that, you know, we would like better understanding of what the exact implementation will look like. What we believe we have is a situation where good operators, trying to be safety oriented, trying to comply, have real legitimate questions about what the regulation is, what it means, and whether or not there are any safe harbors. And I think, you know, what you would hope is that with a safety issue, there could be a good faith working effort with the FAA to better understand that. And I think that the big concern is going with and working with the FAA, sharing safety information, asking for their help and guidance. Is that going to lead to compliance and safety, or is that going to lead to enforcement actions? And I think you know, that's a real concern for everybody in the business aviation community, and we hope it's something that the FAA, we're hoping that they will come to the understanding that it is in the best interest of safety to work with the community and to try to help people comply with rules rather than try to try to find violations when people are trying to do the right thing. So clearly, real concerns have been raised, and it's something that has the community very much focused on whether or not this is an isolated case, or is this a new way of doing business. And that's something that I think we are all very, very concerned about.
Where does this leave AMI at the moment? Do they have any recourse at all?
Well, I don't know what their legal recourse is. Obviously, announcements were made with regard to Ascension coming in, and I'm not sure what the purchase does, and I'm not really sure what the legal ramifications are of that going forward.
NBAA President Ed Bolin. Don't forget to log on and sign up for the AFWeb Flash e-bulletin on significant news developments sent directly to your email box. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@afweb.com. Today's bonus AFWeb BizCast was brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Look for AFWeb's next audio cast on Friday, November 9th. I'm Mike Blakeney for AFWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.